But now we spoke about the fact that the Dolphins have got their first signing. It's a man called Felice Kaufusi, and this bloke here has a lot to do. And in fact, he probably was the man who got him to the Melbourne Storm in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I'm pleased to say the doyen of recruitment there from the Dolphins, Peter O'Sullivan's on the phone. G'day, Sully.
Good afternoon, Joel. Good afternoon, Brett.
Hello,
thanks,
Sully,
for the introduction, and gamble responsibly, Joel.
Oh, well, we certainly did that, Peter.
Pete, gambling's about the only thing I do responsibly in my life. Mate, I tell you what, you've done it again. You don't miss, do you? Like, you're just the best. It's a great signing for the club, considering, you know, the club he comes out of and all the other intangibles he'll offer to the Dolphins off the field as well as on the field.
Yeah, no, you're spot on, Finchie. Like, obviously, to have a player who's played 12 Origins, 4 Tests for Australia, 1-2 competitions, you know, and still pretty much in the peak of his powers, it's a good get. And the other part of the equation is, you know, he actually comes from our catchment area, which is sort of from Redcliffe up to Rockhampton and out to the Wide Bay. So he's a great fit for our club. We couldn't be happier to have him on board.
How are you finding it, Pete? It's a fierce market out at the moment. Felice Kaufusi is certainly going to help, but Wayne Bennett there is going to help. But how are you finding it so far?
Yeah, no, it's good. I think the manager can smell a little bit of blood in the water, Jolly, to be fair. It's the first time in my footy career I say I haven't got the money.
So, no.
So they know what we got.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, you know, we've still got to stick to our values in terms of what we think a player's worth and what he brings to the footy club and position that across the squad, and just not for the first year. You know, it's sort of because we go into year two where normally you'll have some players coming off contract. So there's a lot of things you don't think about. So, you know, do you half a dozen at 1 year? Obviously, with tiered contracts can create a problem in year two. So we need to be, you know, really structured and pretty spot on with our planning. So it's been a challenge, but one I'm loving at the moment.
Parramatta are copying a fair bit at the moment, Pete. And do you have any understanding as to what they're going through? Like, I mean, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, they didn't keep Nakora, they didn't keep Papali'i, they didn't keep Reid Marnie. But I suppose in many ways these players, and I threw out some rough numbers, but assuming they're on probably $200,000 each, then all of a sudden they become $600,000 each players, according to the market.
Yeah.
It's very hard, the salary cap, isn't it, where you almost get punished for your own success. Do you find that, Pete, and the juggling act that goes with it?
Exactly, mate. You took the words out of my mouth that they're a victim of their own success. So, you know, Parra got a lot of plaudits when they took, Isaiah off us at the Warriors, and, you know, on a cheap rate, and got a great year out of him, and going to get another great year out of him. And, you know, and Murata came to them as a young fella, you know, and he's grown from a kid into a, you know, $600,000 player or more. So, you know, they should get the pats on the back for that. But obviously then your planning comes into cash where you just can't keep them all. So, you know, something's got to give. So whether their planning was quite right, having those younger ones off contract at the same time and some other ones not off contract, you know, but that's easy in hindsight. But yeah, I feel for them. But, you know, been in that position before where people come to get you, and you know, when they come to get you, usually do them because you've done a good job.
Absolutely.
So that's the way it is.
Sully, you obviously deal with managers on a day-to-day basis, and, you know, I've got no doubt one of the instructions from my head coach, you know, with Peter Sully, I don't want to deal with it. You deal with all the first grade managers, the first grade players' managers. Have you seen anything like this before? We've seen Jerome Hughes' manager come out and said he will not taking up his player option in 2024.
Wow.
Like, it's 3 years away. Like, is it a time in the game where, you know, you've never seen, like, managers coming after you more so than you going to them?
Yeah, no, it is unusual, and certainly that particular instance where he's made it clear very early that he's not going to take up that option. You know, I guess there's a couple of ways they can look at it. You know, one, he's trying to, you know, get a longer term deal from Melbourne where he's at, or, you know, again, using the the fact that there's a new team coming in, another level of income to be sort of shared around. So, you know, there's lots of things into it that come into it. You know, players want to come closer to home and et cetera, and be at successful clubs. So there's a million arguments to all that. But, yeah, I must admit that was certainly an unusual one, and not quite sure of the reasons behind it. But you'll have to ask young Taz Bartlett that one.
Yeah, when you speak to people down the track and you talk about the first ever Dolphin side, well, it'll be this man we're talking to, Peter O'Sullivan, who's basically pulled it all together. But, Pete, how hard is it in your position when, you know, these are only examples, but people like Jerome Hughes, people like Nicho Hynes, who have been unbelievable the last season or two, but how much of it is the player? How much of it is the system they're in? How hard is it evaluating players from your point of view when you've got players coming out of these great systems?
Yeah, well, it's certainly a factor you've got to take into consideration, but, you know, it's certainly they're in a great system but and a great club, but, you know, they're part and parcel. Made that club great as well, so you know, I'd have, you know, no qualms in taking any players from there. You know, I suppose there was a little bit of a theory that you didn't take players from Melbourne, you know, in terms of, you know, how well they're coaching out of that system into another system, but yeah, I think that should have been blown away a little bit. You know, I think their good players have been incredibly well coached, and what they bring into your system, you know, is invaluable. So I don't see a downside in taking anybody out of Melbourne. I think
it was only me you wouldn't want to take out, Sully. I think that was your rule was only Finch you wouldn't take out of Melbourne.
Last interview, I left before you got there.
So. You said, I'm out. I'm getting out. Yeah.
He's well connected, Pete. He heard you were coming. He said, I'm out of here. Hey, Pete, from what you've observed so far, and this is a question without notice, but you see all these trades. Is there a trade that you think yet at this stage that's been the buy of the season going into 2022?
No. There you go. Yeah. No, like, you know, nothing that's really jumping out to my eye. I mean, the last month, you know, or 3 weeks, I've been head down, bum up, just worrying about what we can do for the Dolphins in 23. So I really haven't been worrying about what other clubs have done. But you know, obviously there's. Those things really take shape once the season kicks off. So, a question without notice, yeah, was probably a tough one to throw at me there.
Sully, you've put together and assembled some of the most talented and some of the most successful lists in recent history, obviously being involved with the mighty Melbourne Storm and also the Chooks. How has it been harder this year? You know, if you're trying to get someone to the Roosters, you know, the history's there. There's Robinson there. There's Tedesco there. You do the same with Melbourne. They've got the Cheese or Munster and with Bellyache. How hard is it when you look to the roster, especially for Kafusi, you can't show the roster because no one's on it. You know, there's how much has it changed? How hard has it been for you? And how much differently have you had to change your tact in approaching players in the cell for the Dolphins?
That's the first question everybody wants to ask, you know, because, you know, good players want to play with good players. So it's that simple. So the basic answer is, you know, we just have to tell them all, you're going to have to trust Wayne and trust myself that, you know, we've recruited good teams over the years and Wayne's coached good teams. So that basically, you know, we've had to ask them to put a bit of trust in us that we'll have good players around them. And generally speaking, you know, when I first went to Melbourne, it was probably 5 years to the date, you know, till we got that team absolutely smack bang on, and probably was 5 years to the date, even though we played in the grand final at the Roosters, till we got that team smack bang on again. So my theory to the players is, well, we don't have to wait 5 years here, you know, so we're not sort of correcting a bad roster or changing things or getting rid of some bad contracts. We don't have any, so... Because we've got the blank canvas, we can make sure we've got a competitive team straight up, and it's our job to have all the building blocks in place underneath, you know, because the teams that have come in previously have had a lag. So we're very conscious of building for the future as well as having, you know, a competitive, successful team straight up. And there's no reason we can't do that. And once we get three or four, you know, signings out of the blocks, and then we've already signed a few younger players as well, and we'll, you know, then we'll sort of fill up the middle blocks as the year progresses. But, you know, right now it's the top and the bottom are our priorities.
Well, I think what could be a priority, do you need a halves coach at all, Sully? Is Wayne interested in a... And he washed up halfbacks.
Yeah, we do. You know a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. Joe Williams is in Wagga. I'll give him Joe Williams.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, have you got a hierarchy, like the most sought-after position that you need?
Well, you know, Joel, everybody wants, you know, good players in those key positions, don't they? Fullback, 5'8", half and hooker. So, you know, if we're going to have a pretty strong forward pack from what we're planning. So you know, I think a hooker is a key position for us, you know. So we'll, you know, I think he touches the ball most in the game. And then we can balance up the rest of that spine after that, you know. But if we get a key hooker, get some really good, big athletic forwards, and then we can get some blend, some nice youth and experience around the halves and fullbacks. So that'll be sort of the way we attack it. We've got to get that hooker first.
Who would you tip Pete into, Finchy? Who would you be going after?
For the Dolphins. First season?
Yeah.
It's really hard because I know this year, next year, there wasn't a great deal of depth in halves in terms of the top quality. And I guess that's, I suppose, Pete, is that been harder trying to balance? Like, because it's usually you can go, well, we need a halfback. You can wait.
Mm.
Or Sully could say, well, we bear our time with this bloke. Let's launch into this bloke in 2 years' time. Is it hard to know where and when to spend that money on those key players, Sully?
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of, at the moment, there's not a lot of key halves in the end of 22. So everyone that asks this question, I mean, you get the same answer, but who's off now is not going to be the case in 3 months or six months or 9 months. So things change. They do every year. So once one domino falls, you know, Mitchell leaving and someone else leaving, it creates a chain effect. And two or three players, you know, will bob their heads up from lower grades and come into the system. So if we haven't got the right player right now, we'll just be patient and wait till the right player comes along and save our money. So we're in a good position then. You know, I'm a big believer in having a few dollars up the sleeve. So when that right player comes along, you're ready to strike. But if you bought the wrong player, then you're in trouble. Mm. So patience is the key there, and we'll be patient in those areas.
Mate, looking at the signing of Felice Kaufusi, you know, he's, like you said, rep player, multiple premiership winner. Out of, you know, to leave a system like Melbourne, a club like Melbourne, to go to the Dolphins is a tremendous tick of approval for you and Wayne, for you and the super coach. Was that deliberate in a way, or is it just how the cards fell? Because, you know, for me, if I'm a player, well, if Felice wants to play there, well, that's a good sign. You know, now the dominoes will start falling. You're getting a high-quality player, origin player, with, you know, multiple premiership success coming out of a club that all it does is win. You know, that only speaks volumes for, you know, the trust and belief he has in you guys and what you've been able to do to get him there.
Yeah, well, again, Felice comes from Bundaberg, so there's lots of factors in it, you know. Obviously, he wants to be in a successful footy team, but also, you know, he's lived on the sunny coast for the last couple of years, closer to home, you know, so his kids can see their grandparents. You know, I'm lucky enough to know his parents from the old days when I signed Antonio, you know, they're a close family. So all those factors come into play. So, you know, it's just a good fit for Felice at this time in his career and this time of his life and his family life. It's a perfect fit for us, and he's a player that's going to attract other players as well. So he's a perfect fit
for you. Like you said, very top got Antonio to Melbourne. Was that like, geez, you know, you have your moments. You know, I interviewed Cam Murray this morning, and in 2010 he was in an under 12s grand final. Yeah. Like I was in at the end of my career, you think, geez, I'm getting. Was that like you saying, I'm well? I signed his brother to Melbourne all those years ago, and now you're doing the same for him and a big impact on his life.
Yeah, yeah. Antonio was great. You know, so he came into Brisbane North, can't remember what year, was pretty much just, it would have been in my first year at least, at, when I got the Storm, and he went through Nudgee College and through the system at North and ended up going on playing for Australia. So it was a nice little connection there. So, as I said, I've known his mum and dad since then. Not that, you know, I haven't spent a hell of a lot of time with them, but I'm looking forward to seeing him again and sort of, you know, reconnect with all those people. And and it was a good feeling. So as I said, you know, obviously Wayne has a big factor in all this, you know, but you know, the players want to play for Wayne, and they know Wayne gets the best out of players. So, you know, Felice coming was you know, if Wayne wasn't there, you know, perhaps it wouldn't have happened. But his aura, his impact on it has been quite evident. You know, when we're dealing with our players and having our Zoom calls that we've been having at the moment, you know, when he talks, players listen. You can see the esteem in which he's held. It's quite nice to watch.
Pete, I remember speaking to Craig Bellamy and asking about learnings. He said, "Oh, there was one year where we'd signed these, you know, three players who just didn't fit into what we were trying to
2014
do." 2014. Yeah, it was 2014. And he said, "We just got it wrong. You learn from that, but it completely stuffs the whole ship up, right?" Mm. How important is that? And so you watch the players on tape, you watch them live, but how much of your job is, you know, speaking to the parents, knowing the mate, or whatever it is, looking at their social media? How much a part of it is that these days?
Yeah, no, I do look at their social media. I try not to do it too much too, because, you know, sometimes it can put you off when it's just not necessarily the case. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you'd like to think that we've been around for long enough to we can pick a good kid, you know, straight away. So, and it's not just good, you know. Players do slip up, you know. They have their slip ups through their lives, and it's part and parcel, you know. And it's probably going to happen more with league players because they're risk takers by nature. And
yeah,
it's part of what makes them great players, yep, as well. So it's, you know, it's not just about having choir boys there, you know. But certainly, yeah, as long as they're good people and prepared to work hard, then you know they'll fit into your system.
Working with Wayne, mate, you've obviously worked with the best of the best, you know, going from bellyache to Robbo. You know, have you picked up on any similarities between all three of them? You know, all tremendous coaches and equally successful in their own right.
Yeah, well, they all have that, you know, that aura that we talked about, you know. So that's an aura that they earn, you know. Mm. So, you know, Craig earned it. You know, he's been doing the business for, you know, over 20 years now. Wayne's been doing it for 35 years, and Trent's been doing it for 10. So, you know, they earn that right, don't they? So, you know, they all go about things a little bit differently, but they're all, you know, they're all quality coaches, and they're all very, very different as well. So, as I said, you know, like you can just see when we do a Zoom call or you know, a younger fella comes and meets Wayne, you know, whether it's a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, 15-year-old that we did during the week, you know, you can just see the aura that Wayne has about him, and you know, and how, as I said, it's quite special to watch. You know, I like to watch a young bloke sort of, you know, look up and into his eyes, and when he speaks, you know, they just nod, and I sort of gave a little bit, you know, Nick Politis is a very similar character in lots of ways. You know, you sort of go there, and you know, you almost just makes you say, "Yes, I'm coming." You know, like it's just that presence, you know. And they're used to success. They know what it looks like, and they command it. So yeah, you want to get on board with them. So.
Well, Pete,
it's interesting.
It is interesting. Felice Kaufusi on board with the Dolphins
done,
in 2023. Congratulations, Pete. Many more to come. No doubt about that, mate. We appreciate your time on this rainy Friday afternoon.
Any time for you, Jolly?
What about me, Sully? I'm here as well. Come on, Sully.
Well, Joel used to live with me, so he's got a special place.
Well, we had that week in Terrigal together, me and you, Sully.
Calm down, mate. He's my man. He's my man. And you know what he'd be having, Pete, on a day like this? Beef stroganoff. He's a beef stroganoff man.
Hey, a couple of beers too. I don't know about that.
Good on you, Pete. We'll chat later.
Cheers, lads.
Thanks, Sully.